Tax reform should follow the Buffett rule.
Class warfare will simply divide this country more.
Income equality in America is nothing new. It was around long before we started talking about the 99% and the 1%. In fact, most economists agree that income inequality on its own is a good thing. It's critical fuel for the economy. It's the thing that makes people get that degree or start that first business. But the antidote for income equality was always supposed to be upward mobility, the idea that you're not stuck where you are in America. In this country, not like other places, you can move up. You can do better than your parents. You can get ahead. Except there's a problem. The idea of upward mobility in America is demonstrably and provably false. So says Timothy Noah, author of The Great Divergence, America's Growing Inequality Crisis, and What We Can Do About It. He is also senior editor at The New Republic, where he writes the TRB column. He joins me in studio now. Timothy, hello.
Thanks for having me.
You say the idea of upward mobility is an American myth. You say that the data show that it's false. You have to explain that because as a believer in the American dream, that makes your head snap right back.
Well, it's false in the sense that the United States no longer leads the world in upward mobility as it did at the turn of the 20th century, for example. If you look at surveys, contemporary surveys, you find that something I call the heritability of incomes, the likelihood that your income relative to the rest of society will match that of your parents in the United States is much greater than it is in most of Western Europe. The United States is just ahead of Italy and the United Kingdom, but otherwise the other Western European countries, these old world countries that we used to think of as aristocratic, are doing better on upward mobility than the United States.
Wait a second. European countries have huge tax burdens. The countries of Western Europe have socialized medicine where people are wards of the government and are ossified into their social classes because they have no reason to strive, right? That's
well,
right?
That's,
I mean, I've been watching the campaign.
That's right. That's what we're told, but it's not true. Actually, the one candidate who acknowledged this during the primaries was Rick Santorum, strangely enough, who pointed out that upward mobility in the United States is has slowed down and that it is not that is not keeping pace with Western Europe.
Now, but huge parts of our political culture are based on this truism of upward mobility, striving to get ahead. You know, we have a name for it, the American dream. You're kind of upending some entrenched American theology here. I mean, I know you're a patriot, but you're really pulling the tablecloth off of a central tenets of American politics.
Well, we get our notions about upward mobility in the United States from I think primarily two writers, one of whom is James Truslaw Adams, who nobody's heard of, but everybody's heard of the phrase he invented, the American dream,
yeah,
which he invented during the Depression, interestingly. The other person is Horatio Alger. And both Adams and Alger were living at a time of rapid industrialization, late 19th, early 20th century, when upward mobility in the United States really was accelerating rapidly and was more rapid than it is today. Since mid-century, we have seen the level of upward mobility level off in the United States, and it's increased in these other countries.
And in fact, you say that upward mobility has peaked in, I think, the 50s and hasn't really gone anywhere since in sort of the post-war era, if I have the numbers right. But
some people even say it's declined.
Declined.
Mm-hmm.
But you also say that Americans steadfastly refuse to know what's provable by the numbers, that despite decades and decades of data that the American dream is not what we think it is,
mm-hmm,
Americans refuse to know it. Why do they refuse to know it?
It's absolutely fantastic. You look at polls and while we lag other industrialized democracies in upward mobility, we lead all these other countries in believing that there is more upward mobility here than anywhere else. It's just a huge, huge disconnect, and it's part of the American mythology that people aren't willing to accept. I was unaware of it when I started research on the book. I didn't know. I knew that income inequality was a big problem in the United States, but I was not aware that upward mobility was as well.
Well, Timothy Noah, if you lost a few people by bruising their patriotic egos of what America really is, you're going to lose a few more when I tell them this, what to do about it. Which, in which you say, and I'll go down a list from your book: soak the rich with taxes, expand government, expand immigration. There are others. I can hear you losing more than half the country as we speak.
Well, fortunately, I'm not running for office.
That, somebody's going to come back and say you're just a partisan. You say vote Democrat. In other words, you also say that you're just a partisan as well.
Well, the vote Democrat part actually comes from a political scientist who has done some studies where he has found a really, really stark partisan difference going back to 1948. When Republicans occupy the White House, the biggest income gains in American society go to those at the top. When Democrats occupy the White House, the biggest income gains go to those at the bottom. It's a really striking difference. The difference breaks down at the very top. If you're super rich, you tend to do very well under both Democrats and Republicans.
You're immune.
But in general, Democrats have a much better track record on promoting income equality.
Timothy Noah is a data-driven partisan. In other words, he is a partisan but seems to have the numbers to back it up. The book is The Great Divergence, America's Growing Inequality Crisis and What You Can Do About It. You can read an excerpt from The Great Divergence at thetakeaway.org. Timothy Noah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Here's what one listener has to say about his own economy.
This is Mike from Boston. Where am I 4 years after the collapse? Well, my wife and I are in a better place. We're homeowners on sound financial footing. What's more, I learned where the real money is in the world, and I'm going to school on a scholarship to be a financial analyst.
One person who learned how to get by after the financial collapse wants to do as well as they're doing on Wall Street. Tell us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can post to the website at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick with you. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.